It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And of course, our climate is exactly what we would expect for this time of year, perhaps a bit cooler than some people are used to. It's been a few years since we've had the kind of temperatures we've experienced in the last week and a half. But most of us survived, and just about all of our vehicles got started one way or another. And so we're on the road. And the days are getting longer, and I hope that some of you have been out enjoying the moon. It has been spectacular the last couple of nights, just getting outside and doing some things. Last night was absolutely delightful. I was out skiing as the sun set and the moon rose, and it was perfect. It was just a gorgeous afternoon and evening. And one of the nice things about this time of year is you don't have to stay up till 10 p.m. to have the sky get dark enough to actually appreciate the moon's light. And with the snow on the ground, it is absolutely stunning out there. I think John Guida over in the Nisswa area had a picture on KAXE, KBXE season watch of some night skiing, and there were a couple of other fantastic shots of the new moon. We're going to have a blue moon this month. This is this one they call the super moon because it is as close to the Earth as it's likely to get, and as hard as that is to believe, the sun is as close to the Earth as it is going to get throughout the year. So we are experiencing two close passes. And of course, the reason that the Earth is not warm here in the Northern Hemisphere is that the sun is at a pretty low angle. One of the things you can notice right now is that the sun and the moon have kind of switched places. So this time of year, the sun rises in the southeast. It climbs to about 25 degrees above the horizon and is due south, of course, at noon. And then by 4:30 in the afternoon, it's down on the horizon again in the southwest. But the moon is coming up in the northeast and setting in the northwest. And those two heavenly bodies will switch positions as we move into the summer. And actually, they're not switching positions at all. It is simply that the Earth is tipping on its axis or rotating around the sun in a way that it causes a different part of the Earth to be directly above the sun. And so we will see that increasing. And as we move further into spring, watch as the moon and the sun start walking toward one another so that at some point they will be rising and setting on nearly the same plane. And then the sun will move to the northeast as a point of rising and set in the northwest. And the moon will rise in the southeast and set in the southwest. And that will be long about July. So keep an eye on those guys and enjoy the moon. It is just, it's a good time to get out. And even though it's a little bit cool out there, it's certainly nothing that's going to, you know, cripple you. It'll just leave you refreshed and invigorated. I've been watching the animals at my bird feeder, and I have seen I have more than two dozen red poles that are coming regularly. And since my thistle feeder only will support six at a time, there's quite a bit of competition for those spots. And lots of the seed falls out of the thistle feeder as they're pulling out others. So the other 18 to 20 red poles sit on the ground underneath the feeder and pick up the stuff that gets dropped. And, well, to be honest with you, I've been scattering a little bit on the snow right below the feeder as well so that they're not bothered with having to look for the odd seed. There's quite a bit of food down there for them. Besides the red poles, I've got gray jays coming in every day, ripping off chunks of fat and moving it away and hiding it in the woods. Pretty regular behavior on their part. They continue to come in, chop away chunks of fat, store them in their throats, and then fly off after 10 or 15 minutes to hide these chunks of fat in the woods where they can come back and get them later. They have a very sticky saliva that they use to kind of embalm these pieces of fat, and they tuck them away here and there, and then we'll come back later and chop into them and enjoy them. So that's going on. I had black-capped chickadees, of course. I've got quite a few red-bellied and white, red-breasted and white-breasted nuthatches. And I'm also seeing, ruffed grouse. I mentioned that I was out skiing these past few days and had kicked up some grouse out of the snow. And I felt bad for that because I know what it's like to get dragged out of bed in the middle of the night when things are nice and warm and you don't really want to throw your feet out on the floor and go skating across the room. It's kind of cool out there. And so I felt bad that I had rousted these two grouse from their roosts, their snow caves. But there was enough snow on the ground that they were able to get underneath it and find that little bit of solace that comes from having a snow roof over your head when it's cold out. And they're, of course, very busy eating birch and aspen buds and trying to get enough food in themselves to make it through the night. The woodpeckers, pileateds, hairies, and downies are all at the feeders and hacking away at the suet. They seem to be doing a pretty good job of it. The other thing that I noticed while I was out skiing, a couple of things really. One was the seeds that are laying on top of the new snow. And there are a number of them. The speckled alders, those tag alders that grow along the edges of the swamps, kind of in that transition zone. You come up from the grasses and sedges, and then you kind of get into some woody plants. And those woody plants are usually a mixture of willows and the speckled alders. And if you're out skiing right now, the speckled alders have dark gray bark. They can get up to 3, 4, maybe 5 inches in diameter. So they can grow quite large, bigger than most of the shrub willows that we have up here. The bark is a dark gray, and it has these little white openings in them. Those are lenticels, and the lenticels are for gas exchange, and they can off-gas oxygen and bring in carbon dioxide through those lenticels if they'd like. The other thing that's interesting about the speckled alders is that they are nitrogen fixers, so they can take airborne nitrogen, NO2, pure nitrogen out of the air, and they can convert it into ammonia or ammonium and put it in the soils in a form that other plants can use. So they perform a kind of a valuable service in enriching the soils around them, which can result in some stronger growth. So the speckled alder seeds are on the snow, the birch seeds and the birch bracts. The red poles that are busy at my house are also busy eating the birch seeds. And as a result, you get these little, well, they're the bracts of the catkin that is the female flower on the birch tree. And those bracts look like little fleur-de-lis. So they look like the little, they've got a kind of a four rounded edges of a bract. And that is the tissue that separates the seeds on the birch. The seeds themselves are quite small and grain of salt size maybe, and kind of yellowish to brownish. And so they show up pretty well on top of the snow as well, and are pretty easy to spot. So look for the birch seeds, look for the alder seeds. I saw a lot of red pine what I took to be seeds on the snow, but then I got to examining them and I realized that those that had what looked like a seed structure at one end of the wing, the red pine seed and wing is about a half an inch long, maybe 5/8 of an inch long, and it has a kind of a large wing and then a dark seed at one end, and that kind of spirals it down as it falls out of the cone. These are not coming from cones. These are, well, they are coming from cones, but they're not falling out of the tree as seeds because the squirrels have harvested just about all of the cones of the red pines, and they are digging these cones up out of their middens and hauling them up in the tree and then eating them. And the reason I know this is that the wings that were on the snow, those that had what appeared to be a seed at one end, I examined several, and they were all failed, all non-viable seeds. So in one way or another, they were not not going to grow a new tree. And those others were just wings with the seeds missing. And the squirrels are knocking these out of the cones, tearing the cones apart, and they're eating the seed and spitting out the wing. And so there are lots of these wings laying on the snow as well. And that's been pretty interesting to watch that. The other thing I've noticed quite a bit of while I've been out and around are the deer. Not so much the deer themselves, but their trails that are getting quite packed down, and places where the deer have kicked away the snow and tried to find nourishment underneath, looking for a little blade of grass or maybe the green leaves of wintergreen or, if they could get to it, my trailing arbutus, but I put a fence over it so the little devils can't eat it. But they're looking for any kind of food right now because, to be honest with you, this cold weather really ups their demand for food, and they might have to eat as much as 5 to 10 pounds of browse, of stems each day in order to get enough energy to keep themselves warm through these cold nights. And they get that by nipping off the shoots that they can reach that are on just about any sort of a bush. They like dogwood. They like they like just about everything, it seems. Everything out there gets browsed. They're eating the buds off of the white pines. They're, they'll browse anything. And at this point, they've browsed the good stuff, and they're just eating whatever they can find right now. And that's part of the reason that they're kicking back the snow, looking for stuff underneath, because they need the food. They need the energy that food will provide them with in order to survive these cold days. So deer are not having a good time of it. The only thing that's working well for the deer is that the snow's not very deep, so they don't have to worry too much about predators. They can outrun just about anything that's out there, and they will if need be. But they'd rather not spend the energy if they don't have to. I did see some large canid tracks, and I'm not prepared to say they were coyote or wolf. They were just some large tracks made by a canid, a dog. And I live far enough out in the woods that I'm pretty sure it wasn't somebody's dog just kind of loping through the area. It was following the deer trail, and it was pretty obvious. My dog paid quite a bit of attention to them, and my dog is about a 60-pound Labrador puppy right now, and her feet were smaller than or the footprint she was leaving was smaller than the canid footprint that was in the snow. But I never saw it, so I don't know. Only thing I can tell you is that it was from a dog animal, an animal in the dog family, wolf, coyote, fox, something. If it was a fox, it was a fox with big feet, but that can happen too. Just look down at the end of your legs. Some of you have little feet and some of you have big feet. And the same thing can be true of all of those canids as well. That's what I've got for phenology this week. As always, I encourage you to share your observations. There are lots of things going on. Check out the KAXE KBXE Season Watch page. There's just a ton of fun stuff out there. People have deer in their yards. They have red-bellied woodpeckers. They've got great photos of northern hawk owls, great gray owls, barred owls, snowy owls. But the only one I haven't seen is the great horned owl. And interestingly, the great horned owls will be starting to call in the next week or so, and through the month of January, as they get ready to nest, mate, and nest in February. So listen for the call of the great horned owl as we enjoy the waning moon in the next week or so.